You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. And today, Jane, we are going to talk about the great town of Piscataway Township. And we have with us as our special guest, Mayor Brian Waller. Mayor, welcome to our show.
Oh, it's an honor and a pleasure to be back here in studio.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You've been here before, and so welcome back again. Let's talk about some fun facts about Piscataway. According to my research, Piscataway is the fifth oldest town in New Jersey, founded in 1666. Six. So it's got a long history, and your family has a lot of deep roots in the town. Please share with us a little bit of your background, how you got into politics, and what motivated you to get in there.
Well, Ken and Jane, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here, and to the listenership of here. It actually all started when I was a young grade school / teenager. I was a newspaper boy carrier. I delivered the afternoon papers for the home news, and I had over 100 homes in that area, Piscataway off of Morris Avenue. And that's how I got to know a lot of people there. So they always relied on me to be dropping the afternoon newspaper. And I know in this day and age with everybody walking around with an iPhone or an iPad or anything like that, well, what do you mean an afternoon newspaper? But don't forget, back in the 60s, you know, from the 40s on up until, say, the 80s, they have two papers a day, the morning edition and the afternoon edition. So that's how I got to know a lot of the residents. And then one thing led to another. I ended up working for Congressman Patton at the time, who represented Middlesex County down in Washington. I was his congressional page, and then I ended up working for the Speaker of the House at the time, Tip O'Neill, for about 18 months. And then I came back to Piscataway to go to school at Rutgers University, graduated, and the rest is history.
Wow. That's all Jersey roots right in Piscataway. So that's a great story, how you're of your success and, you know, development. Now, were you a council person?
Yes. I was involved in a lot of the other boards and commissions. At that time, it was Mayor Ted Light, who, ironically, when I was in fifth grade, I remember this distinctly, and I always kid him about it, that I told him at that time he came to speak as like a civics day in class, and I said, you know, Mayor, I'm gonna be up on a dais with you one day, or I might be mayor. And then lo and behold, I think it was like 20 plus years later, I got elected to the town council, and my seat was right next to Mayor Light, who's still the mayor. And I told him, I said, see, I told you I was gonna get up there one of these days.
Yeah,
so it was kind of funny.
Yeah, so he was proud to see you coming next to him. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So you've been the mayor for quite a while.
Almost 24 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, so I guess you were the mayor. We originally resided in Piscataway. I had a townhouse. So when I bought the townhouse, it was, I think, 2002. Mm. So you were definitely
the mayor.
Yeah, yeah, you were my mayor for
a long time. I do now have some gray hair. I didn't have any before I got mayor, but I would never blame that on the residents.
Right.
Yeah, hopefully we didn't give you any gray hair that time.
Yeah, I think it's mostly my kids.
Oh, that's right, the kids. Yeah, surely, right. Certainly, especially if you have daughters, they tend to give you more gray quicker than the.
Especially if you're marrying them off. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. So, how would you describe, has your leadership and approach changed since the beginning of the time you're mayor to now? Have you changed?
Government at the local level really has evolved. You know, when I was first elected mayor in the 2000s, you know, we were at the start of the dot-com bust. Mm. And we were really trying to rethink how business model was going to be working in Piscataway Township, because predominantly, and we still are a telecommunications hub in the state of New Jersey, IT is very big, and for the economic base, we had at over probably anywhere from 35 to 40,000 telecommunication workers coming into Piscataway every day.
Right.
So it almost doubled our daytime population. So what happened was, in the dot-com bust, there was a lot of shedding of jobs, and you also had the advent of innovation technology, which you didn't need a lot of people anymore as things progressed over time through technology improvements. The footprint of IT in Piscataway Township as a business model started to shrink. Mm. And so what do you do with these large office complexes? And Piscataway is no different. This is all happening up and down the 287 corridor,
right?
As both you and you and Jane know. So we really started to think, what is the business model going to be? So it was sort of a struggle at first, but then we sat down and said, hey, listen, what are our key attributes? One is location. The other one is that we have a availability of a triple redundancy of power coming into our town because of all the telecommunication businesses or affiliates of the thing. And then we had availability of water. So when you have telecommunications, you need a lot of water. And you're saying, well, Mayor, what do you need a lot of water for? It's because you're cooling these buildings down, especially if you have data centers.
Right.
So that sort of percolated in the early 2000s. And then we, you know, obviously you had the crash after, you know, right before 2008. And there was reciprocal downturns. So at each downturn, we just redefine our mission. So now we're predominantly still a telecommunications town, but we're home of several of the largest data centers in the United States. Mm. And now we're making a very big push to piggyback off that with AI. Mm. So which AI and data centers have a lot in common. You have to have triple redundancy of power. You have to have a lot of water. They also like the fact that we have relatively inexpensive sewer rates. And you're saying, well, what does sewer have to do with telecommunications? Because they're discharging water because of the cooling systems.
Because of the cooling towers on the roof, right? Because I was in the consulting field, and you speak about telecommunications, and it's good that Piscataway, those facilities are not in a flood zone. Because I remember way back in 2000, I was in the consulting field, in the environmental field, and that's when Tropical Storm Floyd affected AT&T, and they had a telecommunications center in North Jersey that, and they had all their equipment in the basement,
which is not a good thing.
So they learned. So the lessons learned from that, or from the experience, are that you have to. They cost them, you know, millions and millions of dollars in damage to all the equipment. So,
I don't mean to go back 20 years, but what really started it is when the Congress passed the Oxley-Sarbanes Act, requiring brokerage houses and banks to have recovery sites. Mm-hmm. So now you had large entities looking for recovery sites for business purposes to store their information. Mm-hmm. And Piscataway in the tri-state region kept coming up as a place located. And I hate to say it, during the very bad storm of Hurricane Sandy, our recovery sites were the only one that were high and dry in the tri-state region.
Mm. Wow.
And so that now added more, but unfortunately for security purposes, they don't like telling there's recovery sites and this, that, and the other thing, even though I'm speaking about it on the radio.
Yeah.
But, the bottom line is, so it gets very hard to try to market that niche market, but the folks that are the large players in that entity and that technology, they all know who has availability of power, who has the low sewer rates. So they all know through the grapevine. It's not like you have to have a marketing book and go out there. But now, with the advent of AI, this is like a whole new separate thing that's going to take off very shortly than what's happening right now. And that's why we're well positioned, Piscataway Township, to take advantage of that business model too.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
And I have a city question.
Sure.
You said they use a lot of water. Is what kind of water from the
Well, in our case, our water purveyor is New Jersey American Water, and in this area it actually comes out of the Raritan River.
Oh, it's not the drinking water.
Yeah, no, it's drinking water that comes out, but, through the refining, through Spruce Run, Round Valley, the state system in the Raritan River, and the DNR Canal, that's where, in this general area, Ascension, New Jersey, they receive their drinking water.
Okay, so they use the water like we...
Yeah, if you ever go over there to New Jersey American Water, they'll show you when they take the water out of the canal, what it looks like, and you're probably saying, oh, my God, I'm actually going to drink that. But after they through their systems and stuff like that, it comes out to crystal clear. Yeah. Like, for instance, bottled water, Aquafina water, out of the Pepsi bottling plant in Piscataway. Wait. It's made through New Jersey American Water, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Piscataway has quite a
bit. And Mountain Dew. We have a lot of Mountain Dew comes out. Yeah. We support all the Mountain Dew of the tri-state region. So if you're Mountain Dew lovers, that's made in Piscataway.
I know when I go down to Hose Lane, I see all those businesses. You have the library there, the municipal building. But also you have like the IEEE has been there for a long time.
So that is an interesting – it's the largest nonprofit in the United States.
Yeah.
It's a technological firm. Yeah. I mean, they're housed in Piscataway, but they have a storefront in New York City. But if you're a technological person anybody doing with engineering, you're a member of that professional organization.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. All right, all good stuff. Why don't we take a short break? We'll be right back after these messages.
Location, location, location. Yes, that's right. A three-level building located directly on Route 18 in East Brunswick is for sale. A great opportunity to present your business and brand to more than 50,000 passing vehicles. Zoned highway commercial, this building is suitable for retail, service, and professional uses. To find out more, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. Prime office space on Route 18 is available for lease. This versatile layout features private offices, conference rooms, and workstations with options to lease from 500 square feet to 2,800 square feet. Ideal for lawyers, accountants, and any professional service provider. Convenience extends beyond the premises with quick and direct access to major highways, including the New Jersey Turnpike, Route 1 and Route 130. To find out more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You've got the questions. They've got the answers. It's all about real estate with Ken and Jane Mueller. Now let's get back out to our hosts, Ken and Jane.
Okay, welcome back to our show. We're joined today with Mayor Brian Waller of Piscataway Township. So, Mayor, we were talking a lot about power. So let's also talk about something that's really fantastic news from your website. It states Piscataway has a big green initiative in effect, and it looks like they want to reduce the carbon footprint by 53% by 2026.
Yes.
And not only will it be an environmental win-win, but it'll also be a big economic savings. So if you want to expand on that.
Well, you know what? We were very fortunate enough that, through the Deficit Reduction Act, that one of the things, one of the hats I wear, I am involved with the United States Conference of Mayors. And when Congress is handing out tax credits, historically, these tax credits don't go to local governments. So what we argued during when they were talking about doing this Deficit Reduction Act is that in order for cities and towns to take advantage of the tax credits, the laws needed to be changed. So we did have an availability. We spoke with Senator Booker, spoke with Congressman Pallone, members of the delegation. We had round table meetings with different senators from around the country. And lo and behold, when they did pass that bill into law, a little one-sentence line will have changed the lives of a lot of people in this country. And the reason why I say that is because now cities and towns can take advantage of that, as well as homeowners, businesses. But now we're going to see the fruits of that, because right now in Piscataway, they're building a $25 million solar array project, which is only going to cost the town about $900,000. Nationwide, and that has to do because of the tax credits and the rebates that we're getting back. It's going to account for about almost 45% of our daily usage every day of government facilities, and that included retrofitting all of our HVAC systems, lighting, everything. So it's all encompassing. Wow. So I've been trying to recommend to all my fellow mayors around the state, take advantage of the program while it's out there, because some other state or other towns outside of our state is going to take advantage of it.
Right. So that, in effect, will enable you to reduce the costs, because you'll be running on the solar. And then will you also recover some extra credits, some extra power that you can sell back to the grid?
Yes, we'll be doing that also. But more importantly is that we're building a microgrid right by police headquarters for homeland security purposes, where, you know, if power is down for any reason, we'll be able to survive for like 14 days, wow. you know, without wow. Via solar, believe it or not. So, I mean, there's a lot of things you can and can't speak about on the radio about
sure,
security
because you
purposes,
don't want
to, right. but, you know, this is actually a very good thing for taxpayers in general. And like, for instance, when you spoke very briefly about the community center, that was built without tax dollars. That was through economic development in our community. We were able to build that. And now we have approximately 13,000 members of that Piscataway Community Center.
13,000. So
it's the
that's
second
really
largest
good.
Y branch in the state
because
now.
Because the population of Piscataway, from what I'm reading, is about 52,000.
Yeah, we're up 63.
I'm sorry, 63, right. So that's a good representation.
That's a good chunk.
That's a good chunk. It's like 20% are members,
wow.
which is really... That's
very
pretty,
popular building that, in
yeah,
Piscataway.
Yeah, and that's right on Hose Lane.
Hose
right?
Lane.
By, yeah, across from the other side of the municipal building, I think.
So right? it's basically our civic area. We have our library, we have our right. senior housing. Yep. We have our community center, and then the other side of the street we have our rest of our government facilities, public works, town hall, and the PD. But it's all going to coincide because where the old AT&T building is right now, that is going to be our downtown center. Piscataway being well over 350 years old, we never had a true downtown area. And so there's going to be a mixed-use development in there. There's going to be about 1,000 units, all different housing stocks, from age-restricted housing to single-family homes to market-rate rentals to for ownership condos. Okay. There'll be restaurants there. There will be some other personal uses. We're looking to have another small niche supermarket come in there. So it's like Piscataway's last chance to have a for lack of a better word, a main street, because the way Piscataway was developed over 360-plus years, it was 400 square miles at one time.
Right.
And different entities broke off and created their own town or city, and now we're left with 19 square miles, and we've never had a true downtown. So
right, and that seems to be a popular trend among other towns in Middlesex County. I know East Brunswick is doing that Main Street initiative. Woodbridge has done it, so it's good to have a town center for the residents to get that town, that city feel. At least
and we're also repurposing other buildings out there. For instance, the big tower that's on Hose Lane, the old AT&T building, that's going to be condos with a restaurant on top of the roof. But you could see New York City from the very top. So you can... you know, it's called thinking out of the box.
Right.
And it all goes back to the economic development. The days of mayors and council members alike throughout this New Jersey have to really reinvent everything because technology is moving so quickly and business models are going by the wayside from what you thought would be 10 years ago are now non-existent. So you really have to be open-minded to a lot of things. Like I know a lot of towns are concentrating on movie studios, you know, because with the advent of streaming services and things like that. So you really got to think out the box. And that's what's been very challenging as a government official to do that. And, you know, because you can't wave a magic wand.
Right. And especially with offices, that's just a nationwide challenge. You see that in New York City and California.
Look at what's going on in the larger cities, which typically is a large economic generator for the tri-state region. Businesses from the pandemic, they figured out, all right, they got an 100,000 square foot office building. They're now finding out, hey, maybe I can get away with 15,000 and have people work from home and, you know, part come in the office. And that is a challenge, the footprint that cities and towns that are relying on that tax revenue that they're not necessarily going to have coming in.
And then you have to do a whole cost analysis. Can you retrofit that building? Because it's not as simple as taking an office building and convert it to residential. You have to look at the infrastructure, the building and the lighting and the whole pinning. You may have to pin the building for extra foundation supports. I know in New York they're wrestling with a lot of issues. So
and that leads into another question because there's been a little bit of criticism, not just in Piscataway, but in the central New Jersey region, because about logistics buildings. One of the things is that during the pandemic, one of the two major highlights of towns that had them were data centers and logistics centers.
Yes.
Because those were the stars in the economy, believe it or not, during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and like, for instance, in Piscataway along the Centennial Avenue corridor, that you have, that's always been a permitted use, and you can't, in business and law, you can't tell a property owner that they can't develop something that's been a permitted use for 60, 70 years. Mm-hmm. If you're doing that, you're doing adverse condemnation, which the town will be end up buying the property. And I would never advocate for buying very valuable real estate market. And I know this is like a real estate program, but that's something that you need to think out of the box. Like, hey, is this a business model that fits? But then again, if it was a permitted use for 60 years and you're telling folks they can't do it, no judge in the state of New Jersey is going to let a town do that. You're buying a property.
Sure. Interesting. So let's talk about another very exciting thing in Piscataway, the Rutgers, the football stadium, which is a big draw, and it also a win-win economic benefit for the town, and also having Rutgers there for you guys, the Scarlet Knights.
Well, the university as a whole, we have about 1,000 residents that are employed by the university. They have a very large footprint in Piscataway Township. Mm-hmm. They own just shy of 4 square miles. Piscataway's 19 square miles, so do the math. They're almost up to 20% of the town that they own.
Sure.
So when they sneeze, we catch a cold. So,
right.
but we're trying to work more closely. We're very interested to see who's going to be the new university president.
Yeah.
Because decisions that are made up the top between that and the Board of Governors has a direct impact on the city of New Brunswick and Piscataway.
But I thought it was Greg Schiano.
No, Greg's content. Greg's a Piscataway resident. He's content just focusing on football.
They're doing pretty well so far.
Yes, they are. And it's a pleasant pursuit. And I got to tell you, PR-wise, we couldn't pay enough money being on the Big Ten Network, you know, because it says live from Piscataway.
Yes.
PR won't. Yeah. It's invaluable. So actually, it's very interesting with the university and the Big Ten now. We're involved in the Big Ten Mayors Association, so we talk with other fellow mayors from around the country. I have a good working relationship with the mayor of Columbus, Ohio, who's Ohio State, Andy Ginther, and we all joke with each other. And the mayor of Madison,
You can have a friendly handshake.
Yes, we always do. We always talk. The first thing we all get together, we talk. We compare notes on how to handle university issues in our communities. So, which you know, we don't think about. So, one thing is like mayors like doing. There's no such thing as trademark secrets. So, if another mayor has figured out a problem has solved it, it's okay to borrow the problem and then take credit for it.
So we
don't mind doing that.
Yeah,
so.
And that stadium houses about 54,000.
Yes, it does.
It was expanded, like we were talking.
Well, interesting enough.
But you know the whole history. I know it from 2009, but you were telling me.
Before we were on studio, I was mentioning how my late grandfather was one of the original construction workers on the original stadium that was built in the 30s as a WPA project. But when the university did the expansion back in the early 90s, one of the things that they did smartly, engineering-wise, that was engineered us to eventually, if they ever wanted to expand the upper decks, they can. So it could, in theory, expand up to probably 70,000 seats.
Wow.
Or more, because the way they did the engineering design of it.
So it can support that added structure.
I mean, the university is not there yet. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but, you know, one never knows. Yeah. But, you know, we do work closely with the university.
But it's a great economic win, like we were talking off the air about, for the township, because when you get the revenue.
Hotel revenue.
Local vendors.
Hotel tax. The restaurants. I hate to say it, even people stopping in the local liquor stores to pick up something to bring for the tailgates or the local convenience stores. I mean, and it's not just Piscataway, but it's also the city of New Brunswick and Franklin Township and some of the other adjacent countdown.
Sure.
And that parlays also in the basketball program and now wrestling. Right. They have sellout meets at the Jersey Mike's Arena for wrestling. So what used to be just a fall issue now is becoming from September all the way up to March, so to speak.
And while we're on the topic of Rutgers, I mean, Rutgers right now it always was a very excellent school, but now it's
top 40.
It's top 40. Yeah.
Our daughter is early action there.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm a Rutgers alum.
So I mean, it's highly, highly, highly respectable as a university, and it's just a great. I mean, it's not easy to get into. Last year, our counselor for the high school in East Brunswick was telling us that last year Rutgers had a high application rate of
60.
Like 60,000
yes.
people applied.
We do have Piscataway Township's the only town in the state of New Jersey that you can go from pre-K all the way to get a postdoc degree and never leave the town.
Wow.
Because you have the university.
Wow.
And we do have a good working relationship with the university that they do have a program for high school students they mentor them from eighth grade on up to 12th. And if they maintain an average, they get automatic acceptance to a program into the university and that they pay their tuition for the whole 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So normally there's about 40 students a year that come out of Piscataway, out of the high school, the system that go to that. And they participate that with the city in New Brunswick, Newark, and Camden.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Hey, for the kids, you want to go to Rutgers? Yeah. Ask your parents move to Piscataway.
There you go. Yeah, that's right.
You can rent or you can own. It doesn't matter. You're the resident.
They want to talk real estate.
That's right.
True. You're the residential. You can help.
That's right. Guys. Give me a call. I'll find you a place.
So we are out of time on today's show, but Mayor, we'd like to have you come back next Sunday morning because we have a lot more to cover on the agenda about all the great things happening in Piscataway. But thank you for being our special guest for this show.
No, it's an honor and pleasure, and thank you for inviting me,
Ken
and Jane.
Thank you.
Yes, all right. We'll see everyone next week. Have a good one.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.